Hey everyone, welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here at the Enquirer studio with podcast producer Phil Didion. And we've got a lot to talk about on today's episode. We're going to look backwards at what really happened after talking to coaches, players, and watching the film in the Bengals' most recent loss to the Ravens on Sunday afternoon, and then look ahead to the upcoming Sunday night football matchup against the New York Giants. So let's start with some recap of what took place on Sunday in that heartbreaking loss to the Ravens. One of the main questions following the game was this: does Zach Taylor regret his play calling in overtime? He decided he wanted to call three runs because he felt like he was in good field position for Evan McPherson at 53 yards and didn't want to mess with it. He said the last thing, you know, he wanted to do was call a play that could potentially result in Joe Burrow taking a sack or them moving any further back than where they were at 53 yards. And that play calling was called into question simply because the Bengals lost. Had they won the game, nobody would be asking Zach Taylor if he wished he would have been more aggressive in overtime. So on Monday, when he spoke to the media, he was asked, "Are you comfortable with your play calling after you slept on it?" And he said, "You know, I am." And he said, "I understand that when you make a decision like that and you don't win the game, there's always going to be a lot of talk about should you have done it a different way." But he said in the end, he felt like because the way the game ended with Joe Burrow taking that sack at the end of regulation and just kind of how the game had unfolded up into that point, that he felt comfortable with his decision. So he doesn't regret it. The Bengals certainly wish it went a different way. But Taylor's main message on Monday was, we have got to find a way to finish games. And that's been the story of the Bengals season. Far too many times has this team gotten close enough or had the game won in their hands and hasn't been able to get it done. And that goes to everyone involved in this franchise in terms of anyone that has any sort of hand in getting this team on the field, what they do on the field, then from the coaching staff to the way that they are able to handle themselves in the locker room. And that to me is where I go with this, with what's wrong with the Bengals. First and foremost, the Bengals defense has got to start playing better. And it is week six, and we have yet to see a game where you walk away from watching a Bengals game and say, "I think their defense did that really well." And when this defense has been really good in years past, there's been a theme, whether it be in 2021 or 2022, they were very opportunistic, good at communication in the back end that helped them be able to cause turnovers. And they just felt like a defense that was connected at all three levels, operating just smoothly. And then the last couple of years, they haven't been able to really have an identity. And that's what I asked Zach Taylor. On offense, they want to be explosive. It's very obvious what the Bengals want to do on offense. But five games into this right now, I'm struggling to figure out what the Bengals' theme is on defense with their current personnel. And that's a problem because when you lack an identity, it's very easy for opposing offensive coordinators to know that they can go in and do basically whatever they want against you because they don't fear any part of what you're doing defensively. And that goes into a twofold conversation. And I wrote about it this week. For me, the biggest issues for the Bengals on defense start at the play of the defensive line. And I pulled up some numbers from Pro Football Focus that if you think what you're seeing on the field is bad, then you see the numbers and it becomes even more jarring. But to simplify it, it is this: everyone from interior defensive players to edge defensive linemen is not doing enough. Other than Trey Hendrickson, this team can't rush the passer and can't stop the run again for a second year. And they have the healthy bodies now. I know Miles Murphy was just working his way back on the field, but it is go time for Miles Murphy to look like a player that is capable of being this team's premier top edge rusher. Because when you get drafted in the first round, that was the plan, to eventually be able to move on from Trey Hendrickson, knowing, Miles Murphy can be your guy. And it's too early to tell what he's going to be. We'll give him some time before we really start making predictions of what he is going to be or what he isn't going to be. But simply put, they don't get enough pressure up the middle. BJ Hill has been playing okay. He made a difference out there against the Ravens now that he's back on the field. But even BJ Hill is still not good enough. And when you can't rush the passer or create any pressure issues from the middle of the pocket, that puts even more pressure on your edge rushers to execute. And right now, the playbook is out against the Bengals defense. Shut down Trey Hendrickson, and you should be able to execute on offense. And that's a problem, because when you only have one player that you really fear, that's the game wrecker, that when these offensive coordinators go into their lab on Monday and put up on the board, who do we have to stop to win this game? Trey Hendrickson is the only player on the Bengals defense that anybody fears. And so that trickles down because they focus their entire attention on Trey Hendrickson, which means other players need to step up. And they're just not. Joseph Osai not doing anything with his increased reps when he had them. The team moved on from Zach Carter. Those are second and third round picks that you're not getting any production from. Sam Hubbard, I thought, played a lot better against the Ravens, but that's still not good enough. And then you've got guys like Lawrence Guy and Jay Tufele and some of these guys in the middle. Chris Jenkins, McKinley Jackson are both rookies, so they're still trying to figure it out. But there just hasn't been anybody else on the defensive line that has been able to do anything and create any sort of pressure and make the game any more complicated at the line of scrimmage. And that's making things really hard for defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo, because as you saw, he had to blitz a lot more against the Ravens, and a lot of fans watching the game and were probably wondering, why are we blitzing so much? Well, we asked Anarumo about that on Monday, and he said, I've got to try to find ways for us to affect the quarterback. And when you're not getting enough from your defensive linemen, that's when you have to resort to other options like your safeties and your corners, bringing them on blitz. Well, everyone knows that when you have to blitz that much, you're susceptible to what can happen on the back end if you don't get home on the pressure right away. And you saw a couple times Lamar Jackson was able to pick him apart because of that. So then the second biggest issue with the Bengals defense, other than the defensive line play, is this. The safeties for this team right now aren't playing well enough. They look old, they look slow, and they're not doing their job at the highest level. And this continues to be something that Bengals fans are banging their head against the wall because of what happened with Jesse Bates. We're not going to get into all of that, but they have not been able to find their answer at free safety and at strong safety for a while now. Geno Stone has been someone that I've been really underwhelmed with. I thought that when he came in, he was going to be the missing piece on the back end. You know, last year he had 7 interceptions. He was really part of that opportunistic style that I know that Lou Anarumo wants to have with his defense. And he hasn't done anything. And he's been really bad in the run game at tackling. And he doesn't have an interception through 5 weeks. So I'm just wondering when it's going to shift in a direction where the money that this team spent on him, although it wasn't a lot, starts to pay dividends for them, because he needs to play better and he needs to play better like soon. And then there's also the issue of Von Bell, and everybody that's watched the Bengals games through this season has seen that Von Bell has just looked really slow. And yes, he was dealing with that back injury for a little bit, but he just hasn't looked like the player that he was the last time he was on the field for the Bengals before he went to the Panthers last year. So that's an issue, because they drafted Jordan Battle to hopefully be a starter. They drafted him in the 3rd round, and he actually got out there against the Ravens and he wasn't very good. So the coaching staff wasn't happy with the way he returned for training camp. And Lou Anarumo said he started camp really slow. And so it's just been problem after problem with really no solutions on defense for the Bengals. And then we haven't even gotten to the cornerback play for this team. That was something that Lou Anarumo and this defensive staff did not think was going to be an issue coming into the season, because that was probably one of the positions that they were deepest at. And Cam Taylor-Britt's regression over the last couple of weeks is a problem for this Bengals team, because they have deficiencies at the defensive line, everywhere at the defensive line spot, at safety. They can't afford to have their number one cornerback in a contract year regressing and playing the way he is. And when Cam Taylor-Britt gets benched against the Panthers being one of the worst teams in the NFL, then a week later, knowing the Ravens were going to throw the kitchen sink at him, because why would you not try to go after someone who just got benched the week before? He didn't look good the week after. And leading up to the game, he said, you know, I expect teams to pick on me. And he didn't have the type of response other than the really good pass deflection he had. He was getting beat in coverage all day long. And it's just one of those things where Lou Anarumo finds himself probably saying, and now I have to worry about getting one of my best players who I expected to play at a high level. I got to get him back on track too. Like, the problems are just endless for this Bengals team. And that's why I asked Joe Burrow, even though he doesn't play defense, is there enough accountability from the coaches to the players? And if there is enough accountability from the coaches to the players, what are you guys doing from player to player to hold each other accountable? Because at some point, the coaches can give you all of the answers to the test. If you can't go out and execute it, that's on you. And that's where I stand with what's going on with the Bengals defense. Some of these guys are far too talented to be playing as bad as they are. And when you really look at where the issues have been, it's at three key spots: defensive line, cornerback, and safety. And that really only leaves the linebackers, who, in my opinion, have been playing fine. I thought Logan Wilson has been playing pretty good this season. There's been times where Jermaine Pratt's made some plays on the ball, but, you know, I don't think either one of them is playing at a Pro Bowl level. But it's kind of one of those things where linebacker play is the least of the worries for the Cincinnati defense. So, unfortunately, it's not just a let's fix this and hope everything can change. The good news is they play some teams in the next couple of weeks that don't have the reigning MVP at quarterback, I guess, if you're looking for a silver lining from me. But we'll learn a lot about this Bengals defense over the next 2 weeks, because although no one in the NFL makes excuses, the Ravens are a really good team. And so are the Chiefs. And Jaden Daniels looks awesome. So you can chalk it up to they've played some really good quarterbacks recently. But if they go out against the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns in the next 2 weeks and look as bad as they have over the last month, the panic button will be pushed and pushed and pushed, because they have too many talented players on this defense to continue to play like they are. But time is running out. So it's go time for some of these players for Cincinnati's defense. And there's not a lot of answers. I know everybody, when things aren't going right, want, you know, people taken off the field and players to play more. Well, you saw they tried to put Jordan Battle in and he didn't play well. So it's not like there's just a ton of good players out there that can just come in right away and make a difference. So some of these guys have got to start playing better, and they've got to start playing better in a hurry, or else the season is going to be lost. So let's talk a little bit about this upcoming matchup against the New York Giants. When the Bengals schedule came out, this was definitely a game where fans, media members, pretty much everyone probably looked at this game and said, Well, that's going to be a win for the Bengals. Well, the Bengals have not earned the right this year to walk into any stadium, including Paycor Stadium, and think they can just roll out there and beat anybody. They are going to have to play really well against this Giants team, who, by the way, everybody was laughing at them through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, just beat the Seattle Seahawks, who heading into last week were one of the better teams in the NFL. And my point is this, every NFL coaching staff and every NFL roster, they all get paid to do their job at a really high level. And to think that the Giants are just going to go out on the field and give this game away to the Bengals, they have more wins than the Bengals. And that's where I find myself going with this. Do I think that the Bengals should win? Absolutely. As long as they have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, I expect them to put up 30 points. But as we saw against the Panthers and the Patriots, this team has not yet earned the right for me to go ahead and pick them to go and win games that they quote unquote should win. Stop saying it. When people ask me if I think the Bengals are going to win against the Giants, my answer is this. I don't know. Depends which Bengals team shows up. Because if they play like they have at times against the Chiefs and against the Ravens, yes, they should beat the Giants. But they haven't been able to put it together for a full game. And that's where I think it's a dangerous game to play roster, comparing of the rosters, and go in thinking that the Bengals should just beat the Browns and the Giants in the next 2 weeks. Because yes, should they? Will they? We'll see. But that's kind of where I'm at is, you know, everybody keeps going to this thought of like, well, you know, they've got some easier games coming up. The Patriots game was supposed to be an easy game. So was the Commanders game. That is the NFL. So I think that this game for the Bengals is massive for a couple of reasons. They're playing on Sunday Night Football. The NFL had the option to flex this game out and they didn't. And there's probably a couple of reasons why. I don't think it's indicative of NBC saying we really want to keep this game. I think that there were probably some other games that they would have liked to put in, but due to other teams being maxed out of their primetime window and protected games from networks, long story short, they kept this game in primetime window. There is not a bigger stage than Sunday Night Football. And that could be a good thing because if the Bengals go out and play really well and look like the team that everybody expected them to be this season, it could be great for momentum. It could be great for just about everything that this team needs. There's nothing more rejuvenating than a primetime win and on the road in New Jersey. You know, I think it could do a lot of good for this team and this season. But on the other hand, a loss on Sunday Night Football with the stage being as big as it is, it's pretty daunting because if the defense plays like it has in front of the eyeballs that will be watching, the headlines are just going to keep getting bigger and bigger around this team. And this is a game for me where if the Cincinnati Bengals cannot go in to MetLife Stadium and beat the 2-3 New York Giants with Daniel Jones as their quarterback, we've got a lot more issues to talk about in the coming weeks. And in my opinion, if they do not win this game, the season is over for the Bengals for a lot of reasons. And I know people don't want to go there, but mathematically, yes, it won't be over, but it would be time for a reality check. And that is, if you lose to the Giants in primetime on Sunday Night Football and you move to 1-5, some decisions are going to have to start being made as far as is it time to start playing some different players to be able to get a look at it, different players. There's just a lot of things that you don't want to be talking about this early in the season if they lose. So in my opinion, this is a really important game for the Bengals. I feel like I've been saying that every week, but time is ticking for this team if they want to turn around. And that's why Joe Burrow said it this week. He said, we've got to change something. And so we get a chance to talk to him today, and I'm excited to see kind of what he's willing to say about what they're going to change. But something's got to change, because right now what they're doing isn't working. And if they continue to do the same thing, why should they expect a different result? So we will see what number nine has to say about that. Let's talk a little bit quickly about the Giants, who have surprised people the last couple of weeks with how well they've played. It's all because of their defense. And that's why I don't think this game is a layup for the Bengals offense at all, because the Giants lead the NFL in sacks with 22. And to put that in comparison of how much that is, the Bengals rank number 29 in the NFL in sacks with 6. 22 to 6. And there's a guy in the middle of that Giants defense who is responsible for a lot of that. And his name is Dexter Lawrence. And he has 6 sacks so far this season. He is outstanding at his job. And he is going to give the Bengals problems all day on the offensive line. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. And his entire defensive line is playing really well. You don't have 22 sacks from just one person. That means your entire defensive line is playing really well. And I think that if they're able to get pressure on Burrow and speed him up, it's going to make it really difficult. So Joe Burrow is going to have to play really well, and so is that Cincinnati offensive line. And that is the good thing, is that the Bengals offensive line has played really well so far this year. But Dexter Lawrence definitely creates problems for this Giants team. And the Bengals definitely know, when I was talking about game wreckers earlier, he is definitely the one for this Giants team. And on offense, Daniel Jones continues to be up and down. And, you know, he's always a talking point of, you know, should the Giants have paid him? At times he can look really good, and at times he can look really bad. But he's done enough to get his team 2 wins. And it looks like Malik Nabers, the Giants' standout rookie wide receiver that LSU, another product of LSU, Jamar Chase knows really well. He was out last week with a concussion, so he didn't play against the Seahawks. They think he's going to be back. They're game planning like Nabers is going to be back. So when he's been on the field with Jones, he's been electric. So he'll present a test for this secondary from Cincinnati that we know is struggling right now. So we will see if Cam Taylor-Britt and these guys are able to respond against Nabers, if he is able to go. And just one final note, since we're talking about the Bengals secondary, Dax Hill is out for the season with a knee injury. He tore his ACL. And if you would have asked me at the beginning of this season, would things have gone as well for Dax Hill as they were in his switch to outside cornerback, I probably would have said no. But he's done so well in his move from safety to outside cornerback. He was playing as well as any cornerback that this Bengals team had. He was definitely the Bengals' best cornerback so far. So it's a huge blow to Cincinnati's secondary. So expect DJ Turner to start in his place. And then I would definitely expect Josh Newton, the Bengals' rookie cornerback who had a good training camp, to definitely be more involved, as he'll definitely now move to the number 3 cornerback. The Bengals are hopeful to get Mike Hilton back after he missed last week's game. So the Bengals secondary got a lot going on, but they're hoping to have a uptick in their performance against this New York Giants team and move to 2-4 on the year, because that would be much better than going to 1-5. So that's it for some thoughts on the upcoming game against the Giants. Be sure to keep it at Cincinnati.com all week for your coverage leading up to Sunday night's game.